Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And the story of the day so far on this Wednesday is Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down by more than 300 points earlier today, currently trading down. Last I looked, there was about 250 points, 257. Now we're 268 now. So we'll talk to Terry Savage about that coming up in just a moment or two. Frank Senna comes by from Crane Chicago Business. Haven't talked to Frank in a while. And he's actually got a story about a poll conducted on behalf of Max Temkin. You know, Max is on the show from time to time, but Greg Hines writes about this poll, and they look at Chicago politics and also incentives for Amazon and things like that. So we'll talk to Frank in the second half hour. But we start on Wednesdays with Terry Savage, and here she is on a phone line. Terry, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Glad to be here amidst a lot of disturbing news today.
Hey, I want to start with, I don't know if it's disturbing, but yesterday on the show, John Najarian from CNBC was on, and he said that Larry Kudlow had essentially told him the job of economic advisor had been offered to him and that he was going to pray on it, think about it, and decide. It's pretty widely reported at this hour that Kudlow must have said yes because the White House is expected to name him to replace Gary Cohn today.
Well, Larry and I are old friends. I had spent an hour and a half with him just 3 weeks ago. We met when he was down in Florida speaking at the Money Show. I was speaking there. We spent a lot of time together talking. He was very qualified in his concerns about the president. The president had not yet announced the tariffs. I think Larry's going to be a great ear for the president and a great balancing act. He's a grown-up for sure. Gosh, I've known him for about 20, 25 years. I think it's a great choice. And I don't think it'll be enough, however.
Well, it's interesting that he doesn't agree with him often. And I think he's more of a free trader, right? And it's a tariff talk that's got us where we are today.
Yeah, Larry is one of the original supply-siders. He really, truly believes in tax cuts, was very enthusiastic about economic growth in his both public comments and private ones when we spent some time about last month. But I think that it's going to be tough for him to talk the president out of some of the crazy things he's doing, and most especially in the last 24 hours, talking about targeting China. But Larry understands something that I haven't even seen it in the news reports. Clearly, the president, nobody has told him this, that China is the biggest buyer of our U.S. deficit funding, treasury bills, notes, and bonds. They own over $1 trillion worth of our debt. They continually buy our treasury auctions, which we are going to continue to have, not only to replace old maturing obligations, but as our deficits widen temporarily till we get economic growth. And so we need the Chinese. After all, they send us good stuff we buy, sheets and towels and sneakers and God only knows what. We pay for them with pieces of paper called dollar bills, well, anyway, credits in their account. And what do they do with those dollars? They turn around and loan them back to us in the form of buying our treasury obligations. And nowhere have I seen any recognition, but I'm sure Larry Kudlow will point that out to the president.
Well, you mentioned
that we are codependent with the Chinese.
You mentioned the figure trillion just a minute ago. Boeing and China have $1 trillion plans to buy and sell aircraft over the next 20 years. $1 trillion in business for Boeing. So today, the talk of tariffs and this sort of looming trade kerfuffle or war, whatever you want to call it, with China has sent Boeing stock tumbling on Wall Street, and that's brought the Dow down by 300 points at one point.
Yeah, but you know, Boeing has accounted for a quarter of the Dow Jones Industrial Average's gains since December 2016. Over 1,200 points of the Dow increase has been in the Boeing stock. And they just said today, where you and I are reading the same stuff, that one of every four jets that rolls off their assembly line goes to China. So, you know, so China goes somewhere else. They go to France. They go somewhere else. Other companies make jets. I mean, this is a very dangerous thing. The president said he was going to put $60 billion worth of tariffs on Chinese goods. That's a dangerous game to start. We need them because we sell stuff to them. And our American countries, like Boeing, have jobs depending on selling what we do sell to China. And B, we need them to help finance our deficits. So I'm very thrilled that Larry Kudlow, who I respect and admire greatly, will at least have a piece of the president's ear, if maybe not of his mind.
We got to get to an EES test in just a second or so, but give me 30 seconds on the Qualcomm deal and what's happening on Wall Street with Qualcomm.
Okay, that's a different story. That was considered a national security threat, the purchase of Broadcom by Qualcomm, and we've had previous instances where we've turned down these deals. That may make sense by itself. But the whole idea of then putting tariffs on China and, you know, the whole steel thing where we only get 2% of our steel from China, all these things are absolutely astounding because the consequences don't seem to have been taken into consideration.
All right, that's Terry Savage. I want you to check out terrysavage.com. She's got a column there. Apparently, Terry's been looking at your 401k, and she's going to tell you about what she found in the second segment.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It is 12:21 now on 720 WGN. Terry Savage is on a phone line. Terry's latest column at terrysavage.com is about 401ks, and I want to get to that in a sec. But also, it's Wednesday. That means it's a Wintrust Wednesday. And in the Wintrust Wednesday segment later on in the program, we'll talk to Adam Oxstein. You know Adam. He's been on from time to time, the CEO of StratX. And we're talking about when it's time to move toward an HR provider, things like that, or questions about human resources at your workplace. If you've got a question, you can text it to 312-981-7200 or even give Bennett a call at that same number, right? 312-981-7200, and we'll get your questions to Adam. Right now, Terry Savage on a phone line. Terry, I'm so glad you wrote this column because you brought up a couple of things. And the first is, since the market's been going up, I love going to my website and checking out my 401k and most of the time watching it go up, but I don't go deeper and sort of see where things are allocated, and it's probably a pretty good time to do that.
Absolutely. Let me give this all some context. 401k plans are probably now the greatest source of wealth in America, except maybe or even with the family home. And that's not only because we've had them, they've been around since the early 80s, so many people have had more than 30 years of contributing, but we've also had a great bull market. Let me start out by saying I'm really concerned about the stock market here. I've been involved in the markets for a long, long time. I remember the 72, 73 bear market and all of the ones since then. And what I tried to learn from each one of them was, what was it? Was I prepared? Did I know? And in those early times, I never knew. In later times, around the time of the dot-com bull market, the lesson I learned was the market could keep going higher even beyond where I thought it was rational. So I never try to call market turns. However, I'm looking at what's going on right now. I see that all the forecasts for growth that were so optimistic at the beginning of the year are coming down. I see a Fed determined to raise interest rates so that they can get back to normal, so that next time around they have some ammunition. I see that we are having very strange foreign policy and especially foreign trade policies coming out of the White House. And I think when we look back, we will all say, why didn't we add it all up and know that the stock market was in a 9-year bull market and maybe we should have lightened up? That's why I wrote this. Your 401k is a big account now, and there are 5 key things. You can go to terrysavage.com and read the full article. But shockingly, many people don't even know what's invested, where their 401k is invested.
Well, I actually checked in with my advisor a couple of weeks ago just to make sure things were where they should be, and I always get great service from them, so I'm happy for that. But you write about target date funds, which is interesting to me, right? These are this is sort of a cookie cutter thing, right? You say, I want to retire in 20 years, and they put your money in this fund or in that fund. Are those a good idea?
It will get more conservative as you reach retirement and you close your eyes. But inside many of those target date funds, at a point where you will just be retiring, you can find yourself 40 or 45% invested in the stock market, just at a point where if the market turns over, and we have one of those scary bear markets that seem to come along with regularity just when everybody's forgotten about them, at the beginning of your retirement, when you're no longer contributing and starting to withdraw, you could find yourself with a huge loss in your 401k plan. So I just want to say that not all target date funds are the same, and many are very aggressive and remain aggressive into your retirement. Look, by the time you're at 82 or 83, you might have a larger percentage in stocks because that's how you generate some growth to keep making withdrawals. But to be highly invested in the stock market just when you're retiring strikes me as a dangerous proposition.
Talk to me, too, about the 401k and when it's time to get out of it. I mean, and what you do with it when you do get out of it.
Exactly. That's one of the points of this article. Look, your 401k plan is designed for all the 20 and 30 and 40-year-olds in your company who are going to have 20 or 30 or 40 more years to accumulate money and grow it. So the most of the investments are designed for growth. You may not find a money market fund where you could hide in your plan. You may find a stable value fund. That would be a good place to hide. But other than that, most investments in 401k plans are designed for growth. A good reason when you retire to roll over into an IRA rollover. And there's a second danger there. You're looking for a safe, secure place for your money. You'd like to earn a little more interest. And there's an army of salespeople out there trying to sell you stuff and tell you this is what you should do with your rollover. Look, just go to Vanguard, Fidelity, T. Rowe Price. They will give you free asset allocation advice and some conservative choices, including money market funds, places where you can hide enough so that you don't have to sell anything at a loss over the next 3 or 4 years as you make your required minimum distribution.
This column is at terrysavage.com. I'm sorry?
I said people get lazy because they're so happy with the bottom line. Read the column and check out the fees and costs in your plan if you're still working. There's a lots of advice.
Well, I'm not done, though, because talk about the bottom line. The fifth suggestion you have is to look at fees and costs. And
okay. You work for a big company.
So I don't have a choice, do I? But I don't really have, I don't really have a choice when it comes to fees and costs to my firm.
No, but watch this. Big companies have all the great HR people, and they're taking care of you. They're having reasonable fees. They understand their fiduciary responsibility. A smaller company with 25, 50 employees, the CEO's brother-in-law is an insurance agent that sold them a 401k plan 15 years ago. Those plans typically are laden with fees and costs, and there's a link in that column called to a website called employeefiduciary.com where you can check the fees. They're required to be disclosed every year. People don't do that, but if you work for a smaller company, check the fees and costs not only of the management fees, but the fees for the funds inside your plan. If they're not reasonable, all the employees can get together and say, hey, bosses, you're not giving us a good 401k plan. The funds have too many charges and commissions inside them, and you've got a responsibility under the fiduciary laws to give us a low-cost 401k plan. So whether you're older and rolling out or whether you're younger and contributing, this is a big deal, your 401k plan, and here's a list of checklists of things to do to make sure you're not being taken advantage of on the way in or out.
You can read it at terrysavage.com. Terry, we'll check in again next week.
Absolutely.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
It is 12:37 on this Wednesday afternoon. Frank Sennett is on a phone line. Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business. It's been too long, Frank. How are you?
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Nice to talk to you again. And there's a story about Illinois employment that I saw this week that we are, the country is at nearly full employment. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but there are more people, tell me if I'm wrong here, more people working in Illinois, or at least there were in January, than at any time in Illinois' history.
That's right. It's a new high in total employment for the first time in 18 years after the last peak. So there's some really good news there, but it's a little bit of a patchwork quilt, as we often talk about with the economy in the Chicago area and Illinois. In the central city, the job growth has been really quite good. Professional services in Chicago up almost 5,000, education and health services up more than 6,000, and of course, leisure and hospitality, big driver, up almost 14,000. And half of the state's total job growth last year, out of the 47,000, over 20,000 of that was in manufacturing. So there's some really good news. But, downstate, there's just not as much action. And the net overall job gain in January was, I think 200 jobs.
That's so amazing, too. Right. So
flat.
Reading from Greg Hines' column on this, Illinois added 200 jobs in January. The country added 409,000. So
we didn't have much of that, right?
No. You divide 409,000 by 50, and you get what would be the average per state, give or take, and it's above 200.
Yeah, slightly. So, you know, as Greg Hines says, it's a start, but it's, you know, not much to brag about when you look at the national picture. So, you know, we need to see some revival again in manufacturing. But in the meantime, the Central City, the Central Business District in Chicago and the Loop with all the corporate headquarters relocations and professional services growth, et cetera, it's really kind of booming.
Well, interesting thing then. In Illinois, the Central City is growing sometimes at twice the average national rate. So if you're downstate, you know, I grew up downstate. Downstaters always sort of feel like the Chicago is getting the attention and they're being ignored. I don't know. Is there something to this that maybe Illinois should focus a little bit more outside the city? Or does this speak to this is where the growth is in 2018? It's in cities, it's in urban areas, it's in technology sectors.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that Governor Rauner, you know, has talked about with job losses to neighboring states that may have, you know, better pension situations in terms of liabilities, better, you know, more favorable union conditions for employers, that kind of thing. So I think that they would argue that, you know, there needs to be some changes on that score. And on the other front, you know, economic development, get some more manufacturing jobs in, create some special incentives, some packages to, you know, bring some more jobs downstate would not be the worst thing in the world.
You know, was it last week that Amazon announced they've got 10,000 workers in Illinois now? And I don't know how many of them are downstate, but I know many of them are certainly well away from the central city. So there's a pretty big employer.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, warehouse operations as they try to get closer to the distributing it right to your house. So they're decentralizing that across the country. And, yeah, there's a lot of jobs from Amazon here.
All right.
And could be more at some point, right?
Yeah, well that's leads us to the next one, I think. So, you know, Max Temkin is one of the guys behind Cards Against Humanity, and he's on the show from time to time. And here I did not know there was this Temkin-Harris poll that he, and I was talking to him on Twitter about it a little bit this morning, that I guess he does it for his consulting work and then just releases it to the public just so we have it to talk about. And one of the things they did in the most recent poll was look at how Chicagoans feel about government subsidies or giveaways to Amazon to bring the headquarters here. And we love it.
Yeah, so a survey of 500 registered voters. As you say, this is from Temkin and Melissa Harris, and they are in favor, the voters that were surveyed, by better than a 2-to-1 margin in favor of tax breaks and incentives to get that big Amazon second headquarters here. So that is going to be, you know, real fuel for those folks pushing for big breaks to get those jobs in, and maybe will put a smile on the face of Jeff Bezos.
One of the things that that jumped out at Max in the poll was that 76% of registered voters said they will definitely vote in the midterm elections in an off-year election, 76%. Now, that might not sound huge to you until you consider that in 2014, the number was 8%. So it certainly speaks to an enthused electorate, which is good news for J.B. Pritzker, because also in the poll, it showed that his name recognition now is at three quarters, 75%, which is what a lot of TV ads will do for you, Frank.
Yeah, for sure. And he's got a favorable, unfavorable rating split on the positive side, 35 to 24. So he and his popularity among African-American voters seems to be holding up despite, you know, the issue with the release Blago phone call recently. So he seems to be sitting in a pretty good position. Rahm Emanuel, the mayor, is also trending upward, although he's still underwater. His favorability is 36 favorable, 42 unfavorable, but it's an improvement over the 33-45 split from last fall. So he is
right,
getting a little credit for maybe some of this you know, incentives for Amazon and expansion at O'Hare, that kind of thing.
He's going in the direction that, yeah, that was an interesting thing, too. So the people thought the city was going in the wrong direction, and they overwhelmingly wanted Amazon. They want the high-speed train to O'Hare and things like that. So it's almost like, well, we don't like where we're headed, and these sorts of things might turn us around and send us to where we need to be.
Yeah, I mean, they've got their eye on some of these big prizes. But, yeah, the right track, wrong track, as they say, 28% say we're headed in the right direction, 57% said that we are headed in the wrong direction. So, yeah, not a good number.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Wintrust Wednesday. We'll talk to Adam Ochstein about HR in the workplace coming up a little bit later. We'll check in with Wall Street as well.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good. Because I've got the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing the news, providing input, and breaking down the stories that matter to the world of business. One of the biggest challenges for small businesses is finding the right source of funding. So you don't want to take the venture capital route. Okay, don't worry. There's an alternative, crowdsourcing. There's plenty to be learning about with this new funding platform. But 2112 is hosting an event tonight at 4 p.m. to help tell you all about it and to push small businesses into the realm of financial relief. And the state of Illinois found a little bit of relief themselves after reaching a new high for state employment. Yeah, all right. January saw just over 6 million people employed. And the last time we saw a peak like that was before the recession in 2000. But according to the Illinois Policy Institute, we are still lagging compared to the rest of the country. Well, I guess there's always something to be working on. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Back to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It is 12:51 here on 720 WGN. It's a Wintrust Wednesday. Adam Ochstein is in the studio. He is the CEO of StratX. You know Adam. He comes by from time to time, and we talk about college basketball. Welcome back.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be back.
So Maryland is, well, they're not in the NCAA, right?
They're not in any.
Oh, so they must be in the NIT.
No, not even in the NIT. No,
so they're watching this year.
The women's are number 5 seed.
In the NCAA?
Yes.
Good for them. Okay.
Yeah.
So you run it's like an HR.
HR software and service company for small, mid-sized businesses, primarily distributed workforce, multi-unit restaurants, hotels, retail places.
So if someone's got a business and they're like, well, this is getting a little out of control, that's when they would turn to you.
Absolutely.
And how do you know if you're running a business, when is the right time to farm some of that out? Because I would imagine, you know, that when you start out on your own or small, you try to keep up with all of it.
Yep.
Maybe you've got your son or your daughter or your wife working on some of it for you. But there's just a time when it becomes unmanageable.
I think when you get to 50 employees and you have employees working in a couple different states, especially states that are bluer, and you have a lot of the labor laws we're going to talk about starting to pop up,
right.
I think that keeping up with that becomes a job that you don't want to do.
So it's difficult, more difficult in states that are controlled by Democrats than Republicans?
I just think that they're more employee-centric and more employee-friendly, all the labor laws that are going to be passed. So at that point in time, you know, you have to start thinking about...
We're going to have Philip Weiss on from Seyfarth Shaw at Work next week. And he comes in and talks about the legal predicaments that business owners find themselves in. This is a spot, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, with HR, you've got to kind of know what you're doing or have people with you who know what they're
doing. Common sense always doesn't equal the law.
Exactly. All right, so you're talking about paid leave, right? And there's a move to expand it?
There's a handful of states that have already expanded it. New York, California, and a lot of countries are already doing it as well. And so the trend now is...
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you.
Yeah,
but please. When you say expand it, what do you mean?
FMLA, which is family medical leave, already provides for employees to have their job protected if there's more than 50 employees, which most businesses are. My job is available for me to come back and I get 12 weeks of leave time.
Unpaid. Right.
The whole movement now is towards those 12 weeks being paid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so this would be a government mandate that they be paid.
Yes, it's Ivanka's pet. New York has it. California has it. New Jersey's working through legislation. Illinois has paid sick, but not paid leave if I have a child or
Well, if that's what happens, then there must be stronger restrictions on when you can take it, right? Because I'm thinking of the Cook County Jail, where half the guards run family leave on any given day. You know, they'll use it a day at a time.
Absolutely. So I think the paid leave, the spirit of it, and I'm going to accent the spirit of it, is the notion that it's for things like my wife, or if I'm a woman, just had a baby. We adopted someone. I have a really sick parent. And I have to take care of them, or I'm sick myself.
Right. And so if the government...
Not the intermittent type.
Right. Not day to day.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it today.
Right.
So if the government's going to mandate it, I would imagine they'll be pretty strict about when you can take it.
Even though
business wouldn't like it.
Yeah, one would think.
And that's the sort of thing that if you're running a business, you've got to be aware of.
Absolutely.
Especially multi-state.
Multi-state, because every state has its, the whole Marbury versus Madison. Every state is allowed to make up some of the laws on their own.
So there you go, 1255, and Adam Ochstein quoted constitutional law. That's nothing but a victory for us here. All right, so give me your advice to a company, to a woman who's running a business or a guy who's running a business, and they're trying to keep up with the HR. Because that would be the most frightening thing with me, frankly, because I could keep up with the making tofu if I'm making tofu in Edgewater or, you know, running a laundry in the South Side. I know how to do that. The HR stuff is the stuff that's always changing and would be hard to keep track of.
Absolutely. So I think to stay in front of it, you either need to have someone like Philip Weiss from Safeway Shaw counseling you, have a firm like Stratex, keep up with it. But if anything, I think it's, you know, knowing, you know, being a good employer is always going to keep you out of trouble, right? So the whole spirit of it is if you can afford it and someone needs to take off because they just had a child, and you give them the paid leave. You want, I mean, in a tight job market like we have today,
right?
I mean, it's almost negative unemployment right now.
Do good.
Right.
Adam Ockstein from Stratex.com. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve. Always good being here.
Enjoy watching the tournament.
Who do you like?
Well, I don't like anyone either. So it's the winter. Who? Oh, Loyola. Bennett Wakenight's a Loyola boy. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, we got to root for Loyola.
Absolutely.